Welcome, everybody. Go for side effects. I'm your host, Kevin Simon. You all know my co-host, John. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
So I brought her back because we are going to be talking about a very touchy subject, which I know some of this will be a sore subject for some, but we want this to be more educational. And so it's about addictions to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, everything. And that's what's important. This, to me, when Herb asked me, as a fellow Navy guys, you know, over the Army guys, to say, hey, you know what? We want to talk. He wants to bring up, talk about addictions, that it's an important subject. And it's a lost subject, Herb. But before we get into that, kind of let everybody know, because you've been on the show before, but give a little preview about when you were in all that.
So I was in a Desert Shield, Desert Storm on USS Sylvania, AFS-2 Combat Supply. Spent a lot of time out there in the Gulf and in the Red Sea, and was out there the whole time. Got 32 days on the books, combat, replenishing ships and doing vert rep. And that's pretty much about it, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the reasons I say this is going to be a sore subject for some, because a lot of people don't understand what addiction is. I'm going to start with the tobacco. I've been dipping since I was 12 years old. I can't quit. I know once I quit, I'm going to be a nutcase because, you know, I use that to calm me down. I use that for, you know, trying to get my senses. And which
you got to be a nutcase?
Thanks a lot, John. But it is true because, you know, addiction just doesn't go for alcohol. It doesn't just go for, you know, drugs or anything like that, because tobacco's, to me, over time, it's just as bad. But one of the things I first want to start out, but now on the harder stuff, is the alcohol. And Herb, why did you want to bring this to my attention?
Well, without going too far into my background, you know, I had, when I left the Desert Storm and went home, well, we went to our home port, I got into some trouble with some alcohol and drugs. And after I got discharged from the service, I spent the better part of, probably 30 plus years drinking, man. I mean, it got to the point where I was using, you know, a six pack or so, and it was a 12 pack. By the time I was done in my alcohol addiction, I was drinking, and people might think this is BS, but 24 ounces a night. The big boy, the big cans, 24
Holy
a night.
Crap.
And that was an average night. Some nights we'd have mixed drinks with that and everything else. And the whole time, you know, people were saying, well, you're just an alcoholic, you're wasting pieces, you know. I got to realize, though, being a Gulf War veteran, I was masking a lot of crap. I was masking my pain, my anxiety. I was masking, just the ability to survive in today's society, not to mention just being a veteran, you know, just coming home from war. The trials and tribulations, you all know, are crazy. Readapting, finances, getting your benefits if you're entitled to benefits, making sure your family's taken care of, learning how to live in society again in general was a pain for, you know, that people don't understand. If you've already deployed out at sea, man, you're away from land a long time. When you come back to land, it's rough. Now, my ship had cases of Bud and Bud Light. As a matter of fact, 150,000 cases of Bud and Bud Light being a store ship. And my captain was a drunk, so we drank a lot at sea, you know.
Wow.
So I was very adapted to that. And then when I got home, it just was natural. I just drank and drank and drank. I was going to work and everything, being social. I would drink 24 beers a night, still go to work, believe it or not.
I mean,
I couldn't believe I did it, but I did it. My tolerance was so high, it was unbelievable.
And most guys who drink a lot in the military, especially in the Navy, because they're out to sea for such a long time, and then when they hit ports. They just go crazy, which, you know, understandably. But a lot of them miss home. A lot of them miss their families. A lot of them miss their wives. And so drinking took that away. Well, the more and more that they drank, the more and more that becomes addictive. And it's true.
So let me ask, being the Army guy and don't know anything really about being on board a ship in the Navy, is it commonplace in the Navy, you know, even maybe perhaps in today's world, are you able to, do they have, or can you bring on board your own alcohol, or do they sell it on board?
No.
Is it an off limits thing?
It is off limits.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is off limits.
There are, but we had what's called Steel Beach picnics, where you actually could drink on the ship, but there were sanctioned parties where they take the flight deck of a ship, they go out at sea, and they throw a party. This was before we got into heavy war, you know, after Desert Shield, that happened no more. But I mean, hell, we were outside of Saudi Arabia, and we went a couple miles out to sea, and the next thing you know, Captain's throwing a Steel Beach party, which meant you paid like, I don't know, $5. You got 5 tickets. With those tickets, you bought 2 beer and like 3 hot dogs. And that's what you were allowed, 2 beers a night. They, like, it really mattered. You know, people snuck beer. You know, once the beer was, it passed out, 2 beers wasn't happening. A lot of us got a lot more 2 beers.
Well, for us, you have to be out to sea for so many days, and then you're allowed to drink. That's what it was for our ship. And you would get, you know, for that amount of time, it could be 1, it could be 2 beers. But, I mean, it's prevalent to know who drank a lot more in the military, and then you knew who was going to be. I mean, I could at least name 4 people off the top of my head, which I'm not going to on the show, that I knew they were alcoholics, that they had problems. And they ended up getting help, being fine. I don't know about one of them, but the rest of them did. So, you know, with alcohol, there's places you can go. I mean, VA is actually one of them. Every time I go in, the first thing they do is, how many beers you drink? Do you feel you're an alcoholic? You know, this, and this. And it's like, no. But most people, that's what a lot of people put down. Wouldn't y'all agree? Even if you drank 6 beers a week, you would tell me you drank probably 1 or 2 a week, right?
Well, that's, you know, everybody's always gonna, you know, say the opposite of what it is. They want to sugarcoat as much as possible because they don't want that label that I'm an alcoholic.
Right.
Now, I grew up, I don't know about you, but I grew up with parents that every weekend they drank. They were called weekend warriors. And then, of course, my mom bowled on Thursday, so they drank on Thursday. You know, and that was every week. This wasn't a once in a while thing. So, you know, we grew up in that society back when I grew up. You know, that's the way it was, at least in my family, in my town.
Right. And so a lot of the Desert Storm, even Vietnam, even the Iraqi freedom guys, Afghanistan, a lot of them guys get into drinking because, number one, a lot of them have PTSD, or a lot of them, you know, they're lost. And them are the guys that the VA really needs to have what's called an addiction hotline. They really do. I mean, I know they don't have it. They got the crisis hotline, which is a fabulous thing. But there should be an addiction hotline where you could call and say, look, I'm addicted to alcohol, or I'm addicted to drugs, and I want help. And
100% guaranteed. Or, I mean, I agree with that, definitely.
Yeah. Another thing is your churches. Your churches, this is one that I would like to, if any pastors are ever listening to this, I would like for you to give y'all an idea. Why don't y'all just have this one little spot at church in the building and hire a VA liaison?
Well, Kevin, I got something for you here. I'm not sure you didn't know this, but there's a company or an organization which saved me. It's called Celebrate Recovery, okay? It's usually in churches. It can be in different halls and stuff. And what it is basically AA, NA, but it's throwing it in Christ's hands, okay? The reason why I mention this is we have a program in Celebrate Recovery called Welcome Home. It is specifically for veterans coming home, facing PTSD, military sexual trauma, what have you. So I want anybody that's listening, please look this up, Celebrate Recovery, and under Welcome Home. That is a whole program in itself, all for military.
Right.
So it's out there. And let me tell you, I just looked up the numbers today. 86 million people are members of Celebrate Recovery.
Wow, that's incredible.
You can find a Celebrate Recovery in almost any state within 100 miles. I did some research again today. And man, I would be new here in Tennessee, Clarksville. I type in my zip code and 10 popped up within an hour.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, and that's a great program. But I mean, like, there's a lot of guys that, you know, I know there's a lot of y'all out there, and I don't, it doesn't matter what country you live in. A lot of y'all have, you're missing something. So you turn to, you know, alcohol, drugs, or tobacco, whatever it is. Take two steps back. If you're in your, this is the way I look at it. I'm 53 years old. I don't want to wait till I'm 73 and go, hey, I need to do something about this now. You know, healthcare, health-wise, addiction-wise, whatever it is. Start now so later you don't have to fix that problem and you're healthier. I mean, that's a good way of looking at it. And for the pastors out there, I'm just telling y'all, y'all get with me. I can show you a great way to organize that. It's really easy.
Yeah, and of course, the alcoholic or those that have addiction problems, they've got to want to stop. If somebody else, a family member, a friend, if they try and force that individual, it'll never work.
No, that's
they
right.
Have to, that individual has to want to stop. If they don't want the help, it's not going to work.
But let's everybody give them a reason. Yeah. And one of the biggest things for me is family and friends. If you hang out with a group of people that do pot, you're going to do pot. If you hang out with a group of people that, you know, does cocaine, that drinks, that's what you get into. People that rob houses, you're going to, I mean, just the way life is. And
yeah, I'm
pick a better group of friends. Pick a better group of family if you
part
have.
Of recovery,
what?
If you don't mind, part of recovery, one of the basic principles that they make and instill in your heart and mind is change people's, places, and things. If you don't change those three things, your addiction will never go away.
That's
sorry
true.
About interrupting.
That's right. No, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. I mean,
and I got some very dear loved ones that have struggled in their lives, and they've been successful. Thank goodness they've been successful because they have a will to live. I mean, because let's face it, addiction can, you know, I don't know this, I've seen it. It can, you know, they can go, it can kill, it will, not a matter if and or it will eventually kill you in some format or another. You know, whether that kill comes from losing all of your family and the loved ones or physically dying, you know?
Right. I mean, it does. So. And it doesn't help with the suicide. Right. I mean, that's what one of the biggest things about suicide is there's also addiction involved. I learned that today. I actually looked that up and I was like, you know, it makes sense because and it's just like. I had one kid tell me, well, I do pot. I don't do anything else. But pot doesn't lead to bigger drugs. It could. Why chance?
I will argue with the point that some people feel that's a gateway. I personally don't think that's the issue, but then again, I don't have, knock on wood, I don't have that issue. Marijuana is not, you're not going to die from marijuana. You know, and it's going to be legal here all within the U.S. I actually had a doctor not that long ago explain that. You know, even Uncle Sam understands that. Hey, I mean, Uncle Sam, right now they're trying out mushrooms.
Well, right.
I mean,
right.
So,
you're right though, John. You're right. But I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about there's a lot of good in marijuana. If it wasn't for marijuana, I probably would have killed myself. If it really wasn't. And I mean, and I've never done drugs in my life until this time. And I literally...
I think it still boils down to the one key thing, whether it's alcohol, drugs, marijuana, pills, whatever. It's a moderation thing, too.
That's right. Yeah.
If you're going to smoke pot from sun up to sundown because that's the only way you can cope, I'm sorry, but you're addicted to marijuana. Now, if you use it for a painkiller, or you use it 2-3 times a day because this is how you regulate yourself, which I know people that are doing it that way.
Yeah.
You know, they're using it as a medicine. But if you're saying, I can't get up in the morning and I can't sleep, I can't, you know, the whole 24 hours you're awake or whatever, if you got to have pot every half hour, you're addicted, and that's not good. Does anybody agree with that?
I don't disagree with it, but
are you hurting anybody? Are you hurting anybody?
Nobody said you're hurting anybody, but this is about addiction.
Well, no, I can appreciate that, but I don't want people out there listening to us. It is an addiction. I don't disagree with that. I guess I would tread lightly in respect to it is an addiction, but that in itself, I mean, as long as you're not driving and causing, because you are under the influence.
I understand what you're saying. And there's a lot of guys who would rather do marijuana than opioids that they give you.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is that the first thing they do is they pop you on opioids when you get out of the service. And if they popped you on marijuana or some CBD or anything other than opioids, that's a big 22 a day too.
Yeah, it is.
I had a 20-year addiction, opioids, cocaine, you know, that's the same thing, hand in hand. So I know that is one of the most, it's the scariest thing you can imagine, trying to break that habit, man. It really is.
Yeah. And
but I'm not saying nothing bad about marijuana whatsoever. I want to clear
this up. No. I understand what you're saying. If you're using it just for pleasure, it is one thing.
Is used the way it's supposed to be used is good. But there are some cases, like people get so stupid high in the way they drive around some of these kids. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Right.
But it still should be just like alcohol. You shouldn't get high and hop in a car.
No.
But they do.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, it is true. I mean.
And I'm telling you, I got veteran friends. We all know some of them that do.
And you know? Right. And that's what the point of today is.
That is dangerous.
That's why I want to focus on, you know, alcohol, drug addiction, and tobacco on fighting people's pain. And I'm not talking about just like, I mean, trust me, guys, I have neuropathy. And that pain right there is excruciating sometimes.
Yep.
I know a lot of people out there that use it medical-wise. And I agree with that. But where I want to see things change is people do it because of depression. I mean, there's people, instead of taking depression medicine, they're like, oh, hey, man, I can cure this shit myself, and I can do, you know, a little bit of marijuana for this, a little bit of marijuana for that. You're not, I mean, mental health is one of the biggest causes of drug addiction. And I would say let's find a solution, and that's why we're the addiction hotline. I mean, we all know when we go to the VA, all they're doing is putting a Band-Aid over our wounds. They're not hitting the core facts. And I mean, I talk to VA psychiatrists who sit there and say they're doing it all wrong. They got this wrong. There's a different method that should be doing it, but they have one method. Because they see too many people. I mean, hell, John, if you think about it, and Herb, y'all think about this. You go and see a VA doctor. They don't have 10 patients a day. They probably see 50, 60 people a day. And they're time limited. They don't, I mean, you're talking about in the bigger areas like my area, John, you've been here. They don't have the staff. They don't have the people to deal with this the proper way. They need to hire more people, and they need to focus. If they're going to focus on addictions, let's focus on it and have one category of the VA for people addicted to help them get off of it. That, you know, they use for smoking Chantas. I know they make a pill you can take for you to quit drinking alcohol, because every time you take a sip of alcohol, you're going to throw up.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I've heard of that. I forget what it's called.
Right.
My brother-in-law had that. It was really bad. And he'd still drink because he didn't care. And then, you know, hour later, he was puking his guts out.
I know as far as marijuana, the CBD component of marijuana, I know that that is definitely a high useful thing for pain. But see, that what I don't know, I believe that there's a lot of different strains out there. And then you got, how long does it take one, if it's going to be suggested to you by somebody, well, try CBD for the pain, which, okay, but how many different strains are there of CBD that you got to try and to go through? That's right. Like, there's a lot of different strains of marijuana, and they're always making new ones. And those people that are using marijuana, one of the biggest, of course, it's in when you watch television somewhat nightly, they're talking about all these other nasty drugs they mix in with various marijuana and other stuff.
Like fentanyl, right.
Fentanyl, exactly, fentanyl. And you're dead. You're dead, right. You're done.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh.
And that's one of the problems is America has gotten to everything needs to have a pill. Everything needs to have a pill for everything. To me, I agree there needs to be some medication, but the amount of medication that they put out there that it just doesn't need. I mean, why do I need an Effexor to go with my Lyrica? All that did was screw me up, but they won't take me off of it. I can't just get off of it. So, I mean, if you mix the two, the chemical balance, okay, but everybody's chemical balance is different. I don't care what anybody says. No two people are the exact same when it comes to chemical balance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, though, that's one of the things with marijuana, like gummies. I used to, every once in a while, I still do gummies, I'll be honest with you, once in a while. But gummies is just like any other food. With marijuana, it metabolizes different. So everybody is different. So a half a gummy to one might do different than a full gummy to other. Just like a beer, half a beer to one is different than a six pack to another. And you're right, with the different strains, the different potencies, there is so much to learn out there. There is somebody that can help you with that. I'll let you know on the chat.
and I like what Jeremy said here. Each individual is different. It takes a lot of trial and error.
I
agree with that, because you're going to take one medicine, it may not work for this person. And I agree with that statement. I mean, so the last time I went to the doctor, not the dentist, went to the actual doctor, he wanted to go up on all my medicine. I was like, why? If nothing's broke, don't freaking, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it even more. And right. I mean, where I give a lot of kudos is to the nurses. To me, I think nurses know more than doctors, because they're there more for the patient than what the doctor is. They actually get to know the patient more. They ask more questions. They're the ones who take your blood pressure. They're the ones who get in there. They do this, 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 and this. So they know more, and they're writing it to the doctor so the doctor can see it. All the doctor's doing is getting on a computer, typing in a few things, going, oh, okay, so I think this will work good for this, 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 and this. But what they don't know is what is your curricular activities outside of that? Because if you, like, go to your parents and one of them does opioids and you're like, hey, I can take a few of that. Well, mixing that drug with the other ones that put it on makes it a whole lot worse on the people and the doctors. And this is where I disagree with opioids. They're the hardest thing to get off of. I know I have loved ones who has actually had to get off of it, and it's a living nightmare for them. And I mean, it's hard on them. So they need to come up with alternative solutions. And marijuana, to me, is an alternative solution compared to opioids. I agree with that. I agree with that. And it needs to come.
100%.
Yeah, it's just a matter of trial and error. Now, us in the military veteran community, because Uncle Sam, if you're on prescribed medication, opioids, and you show up hot on a piss test, you're done. You know, you're done.
That's true.
You have to pick for yourself what's, you know, even though this might help me out, yeah, it gets me a little high. Does it help the pain? Does the opioid? I was actually asked a question today because I was at my local VA today and had to give a piss test. No worries. All good. I was asked a question today. So when you're on your opioid medication, how much pain relief do you get? And I'd never been asked that. I thought, I don't know. I said like 90%, you know, which I think was a fair statement. But yeah, then you're like, okay, I know for a fact this is going to take me out of pain. And they told me at one point, well, John, at some given point, you're going to have to give yourself, I forget what the amount of time was, 8 weeks or longer for your pain receptors to reset, because your body's just going to get used to it like it does any other medication. I'm like, oh, well, that's going to suck. Okay. But then what alternative are they going to give you? Oh, well, nothing. You're just going to have to suck it up, you know, Francis, and deal with it. And and I have a problem with that. Whereas if you say, okay, then what's to stop you from using an alternative that you know has some effect if a person wants to smoke the marijuana? I mean, okay, Uncle Sam isn't going to give me anything else. I mean, we've been down the road of other drugs, at least for me. I'm super hypersensitive to drugs. It damn near, as you know, Kevin, it damn near killed me twice, some other shit they wanted to try me on. And I'm like, oh, no. We're not going down that road again. You know?
Well, let me tell you something that will blow y'all's mind. I won't say the name. Let's just say that they're within the family, and they were put on 244 pills a month of hydrocodone. 244
Holy
pills.
Shit. Holy shit.
And and this is a veteran. Not from the VA, from an outside doctor, 200, and I'm not talking about just a small dose. This was a very high dose of hydrocodone. And
my God.
And, you know, your liver starts shutting down, everything starts shutting down on it for over 20 years. 20 years. I don't get that. I don't understand it. And I know because I went and picked up the prescription form.
244
pills a month.
That's a lot, because four a day is 112 pills, because I used to get it.
That's right.
And I had to take it four times a day, and I thought 112 pills was
a lot. Eight to 10 pills a day. And,
wow.
Damn. And so
mine were 1,000.
Right. And so, I've been around drug addiction. I've been around alcoholism. I've been around, you know, tobacco products because of me. And so one of the reasons I don't take pain pills, like if the doctor prescribes them, I don't take them. I do take a certain kind of pain pill if I have kidney stones, but it's not strong. It's like Tylenol 3, just so I can work. But I know I have addicted personality. And once you realize you have addicted personality, you should know whether you should start doing this or that. Now, let me tell you, if I get cancer, I don't care if I'm podcasting. If I start feeling bad, I'm going to smoke weed, because I know that right there is beneficial for people with cancer. I know that 110%. And so this is why I say it's such a touchy subject, because some people believe smoking marijuana is just as bad as doing alcohol. I don't believe that. I believe in certain circumstances, marijuana will save your life. I really believe that. Alcohol.
I go back to the same thing, though. It's the same thing. Alcohol, marijuana, don't drive, you're fine. You know, if you're staying at home, same thing as if you want to get drunk all night, everything's in moderation.
And me and John have a very close friend who quit cold turkey and he was addicted to alcohol. And but what scared him was his doctor was a royal pain in the ass and mean as hell. And it saved his life. It saved it because she scared him so bad. It scared him straight.
And not to toot my own horn, but I quit three things cold turkey. Three things.
That's first crazy.
First went to coke, cold turkey, never touched it again. After all the years of doing it, bam, it was done. Alcohol, same thing, and cigarettes, the same thing. I crushed
cigarettes also?
I crushed them. Once I learned how to fight the cocaine, anything is possible, dude. I'm telling you, mind over matter, you can do it. It isn't. And putting and turning it all to God through this summer recovery was amazing because I had done all the rehabs, all the 12-step programs, all the big book you can do, all the meetings, became leader. Nothing ever touched me until I went sober at recovery, took and put all my problems, my worries, everything into God's hands, and then lived that way. And once I did that, I quit it all, man.
And not
all at once. First, I did the cocaine. Then it was 6 months later, I did the alcohol. You know, it was harder to quit cigarettes, I think, than alcohol.
I think tobacco would be harder.
But when I first came, it was it.
But this is what's great. You can come on and talk about your addictions that you were addicted to, how you were able to do it. And I'm grateful that, you know, you put it in God's hands. I mean, that's the one thing I tell everybody. A church family, a church group, in my eyes, I don't care what anybody else's eyes are, I care what my eyes say, is that really helped me get over a lot of stuff. Because it makes you realize you got a purpose. Everybody has a purpose on this earth. You got to find out what it is. I think I know what my purpose is. And I'll tell you, I think it was more convincing now than ever. So my kids and one of the in-laws came over, their in-laws came over, and we did this thing where we melt lead. And we poured it into a bucket real quick, and it makes a shape, and it tells you what your fortune is for the year. That's how I understand it. Now, I could be wrong, but they're all doing it. And like my daughter had one look like carrying a baby. I can't tell you what my son's and theirs were, but him and his wife were the exact same thing. My wife's, hers looked like, I don't even, like a fish type thing. Mine came out as a perfect angel wing, and a piece broke off, and it looked like the claw of an eagle.
Wow.
And
really?
Yeah. And you know, and they kind of read it, and I kind of feel like it's about the podcast. It's about my faith. I think this is where my journey is leading me. And I think this is, I mean, my journey led me to you, John. Oh my God. That's so,
no, I feel very blessed. I felt very blessed. I mean,
I don't want anybody to go back and look at the Army and Navy one I lost after I put on red lipstick after I just said that or anything.
No.
But I
do really love helping fellow veterans. I love working with the kids at my local high school. That gives me a lot of pleasure seeing the light bulb come on, just having fun with them, getting them to relax. Learning, you know, like Herb, you know, your struggles and learn what you have overcome, because there's a lot of us have overcome, and that's what we're here to help other vets learn what the possibilities are. And we're here for whoever, because sometimes you just need somebody to listen. Just sometimes, it was my brother, basically, it kind of taught me just to kind of shut the hell up. He would not say it like that, but shut the hell up and lend an ear, listen. Just listen.
I tell you, shut up all the time.
No,
but I know really truly. I keep in touch with some of my Navy buddies. I talk to one most of the time, and it feels good. It brings back that even though I'm not in the military, I feel like I still am because of this. I mean, meeting fellow veterans, we are going through the exact same thing. Some people are hurting worse than others, but we all, I think all of our purposes is we all need to band together and stick together and help one another. That's a great purpose in life.
Definitely. Can I touch on something a minute here?
Yeah.
I want to point something out, because addiction is chemical in some ways, but there's other addictions I want to quickly mention, just if you don't mind, because Celebrate Recovery, that group that helped me, there's people that come that have nothing to do with alcohol, nothing to do with drugs, nothing to do with any of it. They come for anger addiction, chemical addiction, food, body shaming addiction, gambling addictions, food addictions, mental health issues, mixed addictions, sexual addictions. You know, it goes on and on and on. I want people to know that are listening, this ain't all about drugs and alcohol. People have addictions, hurts, and hangups on a lot of different things.
I agree.
Especially us golf war veterans. I mean, you know, a lot of us have anger issues. I know I do. And it's sometimes because of the pain. Sometimes it's because of frustration and what we deal with the VA. And sometimes it's just general life or what's going on in the boob tube or what that bozo Biden's doing, you know? Anger, frustration. Seek out help, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a drug or alcohol addiction. There's other things and other hurts and habits that your fellow veteran or a group, and definitely join small groups. I don't care what it is, at your church.
I agree.
At your VA, at your DAV. Join the small groups. Get together, have coffee with your veteran friends. I guarantee you, you'll learn more from your fellow peers than you'll learn from any of the addiction classes anybody can teach you. We all got great experiences and bad experiences, and that's how we learn. And that's why I'm grateful and thankful for you guys and groups like you and people like me who have websites. That's all my purpose in life now is to help fellow veterans. I've got my 100%. I fought it. Right now, I want to make sure everybody out there that's suffering knows the avenues to get their help, no matter what it is, with benefits, addiction, or whatever. Thank you for that time.
Oh, you're welcome, man. So let me just say this. After this week, on Thursdays, after the show, we're going to be pulling down the videos. I would like each and every person to know we're trying to get it over to YouTube and to iHeartRadio and to all the other ones to start boosting it to go out further. So I'm asking YouTube, Facebook, y'all come watch it live and then tell your friends to go over to YouTube. Have them watch the videos. Our videos are up there. Or you can go to Apple. You can go to, Apple Podcasts. You can go to all the other podcasts out there and listen to it. But I'm going to thank Herb for coming on. John, I always thank you. And I'm not going to say anything else. I really want to. But I'm going to thank each and every one of y'all for listening tonight. We're going to go into the After Show because we're going about to go into a serious topic. And if you need to get a hold of me and you want to talk to me personally, contact me at KevinSimon@GoForSideEffects.com. That's my email address. You can get a hold of me on Facebook Messenger, anything. But, you know, everybody have a great night. And Herb, thank you for bringing this. This was a great topic.
Can I do a quick shameless
plug? Yeah, real quick.
Anybody want to get a hold of me? They get a hold of me at Herbert or napherbert.com or napherbert.hk@gmail or Golf War Exposed Illnesses and Truth on Facebook. Get a hold of me. I will talk to you. I'll tell you all the things you need to know or might want to know about how to battle this stuff and where to get the help.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. We will see y'all next Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.